Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Psalm 24 and 1 said, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." I want to minister a while about the fullness of the earth. You see, not only is the Lord above all things, but he is over all things. Everything under the sun really is under his rulership. There is no sovereignty in any area of the universe that can exclude the presence of God, the authority of God, and the power of God. You see, you're going to face things in life that are out of your control. You have no control over the timing of it. You have no control over the outcome of it. You have no control over when it starts, because a lot of times, whether it's trauma or tragedy or just an everyday trial, it comes out of nowhere. It's unexpected. It's the thunder of a storm that wasn't forecasted. It's the flood levels that began to rise when there was no rain in the weather report. And so we are talking about how the Lord is over the fullness of the earth. So there are going to be things that are out of your control. There are going to be things that you suffer because of the cause that you have, because of the purpose in your life, because you are dedicated to the kingdom of God. You're a servant of the Lord and of his righteousness. Then we're going to face things because the world and society around us is crumbling. It's out of our control. It's because of the cause and things that are crumbling around us in society. Moral ethics are crumbling. Legislation and laws that are absent the righteousness of the Bible, those things are building and rising while truth seems to be collapsing. But now make no mistake, the word of our God shall stand forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And so the foundation of the word of God is unshakable and immovable. But the attitude of man toward that word is often crumbling and falling apart. And so there are things that happen to us or happen through us because of what's going on in the society around us. It is the reason why we need to be the salt of the earth. We need to be a light to the world. We need to be a city set on a hill, which cannot be faded away or dimmed out, because the darker the hour, the greater the light that's going to shine through those that are servants of the Lord, that are messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that are ambassadors of his righteousness to the world. I want you to take encouragement from the fact that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means every success and every failure, every achievement and every ambition, everything that is mobilized by darkness or by the dominion of the gospel and truth. All of these things are under the watchful eye and the glory of God's omnipotence, his omniscience, and his omnipresence. There is nowhere you can go, whether it is in the midst of hell or to the glorious heights of heaven, that you can't find the presence of the Lord. Now, what is encouraging about that is that as a child of God, no matter what you face, no matter what chastisement from the wicked or persecution for those who hate the name of Jesus or lies and accusations from those who have no truth in them, or it's judgmentalism of those who are religiously dissatisfied within themselves and so with the spirit of Cain, they've got to tear down your Abel anointing. You have to realize that God is over the fullness of this. If it's an ounce of agony, if it's a pint of pain, if it's a gallon of misunderstanding, whatever that measure is, from a barrel of brokenness to a mountain full of the manifestation and the glories of God and the peaks of achievement, or the valleys of shame and endurance and conflict and adversity, all of this is under his command, especially when you are surrendered and submitted to the Almighty God. Verse 2 says, "For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." Think about what that means in terms of floods. That means that no matter what overwhelms you, or what tide of temptation rises against you, or flash floods of unexpected trauma come against you, or those rising waves and strong riptides of regret and of things that, again, are out of your control, that the fullness of all these things are still under his watchful eye. And as a servant of the Lord, his sovereignty is greater and exceeds the circumstances. And then verse 3 says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?" Now, this passage that has already established God is the one who is over the fullness of the earth, and how God founded it upon the seas and the floods. So no matter what problem you are facing, God has protection and power to help you overcome that problem. But more than the problem, and more than even protection or the strength of God or the power or purpose of God to see you through a situation, it's a relationship with God. Who's going to stand in the presence of the Lord? Who's going to keep company with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? It's not just about being a distant religious observer of what God can do. It's not just about having an educated knowledge or book smarts about what God can do. It isn't just because you write a thesis or you know certain doctrines and theologies from A to Z, but it's about a personal, up close and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now think about that phrase, "who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord." Think about how God provides a staircase, a way to elevate above your circumstances, a way to rise above former rebellion, past transgressions, failures, mistakes, sin, things that you had hidden in your heart that were unhealthy for your spiritual man. And yet when you surrender and submit those things to God, when you walk in a way of repentance, you rise up out of those things. He elevates our thinking so that we have the mind of Christ. He elevates our actions so that we work with hands that are hands of the servants of the Lord and feet that walk in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. And so that's why the next verse says, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." So it comes back to character. It comes back to the developing of the disciple. It comes back to the fruitfulness of the follower. And if you and I are going to be fruitful followers, ascending to the hill of the Lord, standing in the presence of God, then it takes righteousness. It takes work. It takes an idea that integrity is more important than sinful convenience, that being honest and humble before the Lord is more important than looking good in our own mirrors of pride. And if we realize that when we are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do, according to Hebrews 4:13, there is comfort in that. There is conviction that we live by according to that. There is character that is purified and perfected in us because of this revelation, that we're not just trying to practice a religion, we're trying to live in the presence of the Lord with a deep relationship with him. Think about this. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2 and 9 that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus Christ bodily. He was the Word made flesh that dwelt among us, John 1:14. He was sent to us in the fullness of time, made under the law and born of a woman, according to Galatians. So if he had the authority and the power of deliverance in him bodily, that fullness of the earth that was under the ownership and the authority of Almighty God was what dwelt in that body of Christ. But think about us. We didn't have the fullness of the Godhead in us. We had the fullness of failure. We had the fullness of sin. That's why, according to Romans 8, Jesus had to come in the likeness of sinful flesh. But he came to defeat temptation. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. He defeated every temptation known to man, according to Hebrews 4 and 15. And so if he really did that for us, then no matter how partial we are in our ability to live up to the law, that's according to the sinfulness of flesh. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, through salvation in the name of Jesus, through sanctification through the Spirit, the fact that you and I are blood bought by the blood of the Lamb, the Bible then tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. So we go from the fullness of failure to the fullness of faith because of the fullness of our Heavenly Father. God doesn't miss a thing. He is 100% accurate. You and I can be off target. We, in this human body, even though we have a treasure in this earthen vessel, it is still an earthen vessel. It can be cracked by compromise. It can be crushed by demonic opposition. It can be broken by the easiness of human failure or human reasoning. And yet the Lord puts His Spirit in us to help us accomplish, through the power of the Holy Ghost and a life being Spirit-led, that we could never accomplish otherwise. That is the ability of the body of Christ that filleth all in all in the earth because of the fullness of His authority. You and I are fitly framed together, according to Ephesians 2. We make an habitation of God for the Spirit. We are a dwelling place for the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And it takes all of us in unity, endeavoring to keep the spirit of unity and a bond of peace. We have to continue in the ways of God, continue in the grace of God, and that grace leads us toward good works. That grace walks across a bridge of godliness so that we become more comely before His presence. It is not the ugliness of sin. It is not the scarred remains of yesterday's rebellion. But in the fullness of the earth, we have the everlasting Word of God, and we get to dwell in the presence of the Lord. That's the desire of God, is for there to be fellowship. Again, not just for us to be some distant servants of the Lord that are only to obey His word. He wants us to be close. He wants there to be communion. He wants to have a very deep and festive relationship with us. So again, when we're looking at the word fullness, we're talking about the entirety. That's everything, everything under the sun, everything of trial and treasure, everything of conflict or conquering, everything of success or setbacks. So when you think about that, think about how the scripture says, all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them which are the called according to His purpose. So all things, that's the entirety. You and I often look at the negativity and the bad news and we feel like, uh-oh, everything's working against us. But those things are pulled into the materials of God's design. Those things, if you will, are pulled in as ingredients into the divine recipe of being able to say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The sum of my experience with God is not complete without those days of suffering or without those conflicts that prove the blessings of the Lord in our life. And that's why when you go back to Psalm 24, it goes on to say that he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now look at those two things. Because you live in the presence of God, you're going to have blessings from the Lord. Those things which are designed by hell to defeat you, to pull you down, to throw you into depression, to destroy you, or to keep you discouraged, they are always exchanged and transformed and repositioned to empower us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. It's like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this cause I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That's the power of understanding that the Lord is in charge of the fullness of the earth. Everything, not just when you and I are on the mountaintop and we have the great vantage point of victory and we can see far into the distance with clear vision the good things of God, but it's when we are trudging through those valleys, when we are climbing up with the durability of our faith, our spiritual stamina being tested as we go up those treacherous slopes and on the hillsides and trying to get to those places in the spirit beyond our human struggle, we understand now that all things work together. And even when I feel like I'm my weakest, those are the greatest points of worship. Because in those moments of contrition and brokenness and humility before God, we find what James says, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The favor of God, the blessing of God, the righteousness of God is upon those that not only understand that God is in control of the fullness of the earth, the entirety of everything that we face, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. God is above it all and working through it all in Jesus' name. Now think about that scripture in Romans 8 where it says all things work together, what we just quoted a few moments ago. Now think about it, work together. There's nothing sitting back. There is no laziness in your situation. There is no slothfulness to the purpose. There is nothing in the things that you're facing that is getting to take a day off, so to speak. They're all working. It's the good, the bad, the ugly, the blessed, the broken moments, the fragments of the past, the puzzle pieces where you're trying to figure out and solve the certain riddles of life. And we all get there. We all get discontented sometimes with our own personal understanding, even of the Word of God. And we can quote the Word, pray the Word, preach the Word. We've heard how many sermons, if you've lived for God a number of years, you have been through the experiences, you've had a major education in certain areas of life because of setbacks or sickness, because you've had to deal with things that you didn't ask for. You've had to deal with things that cropped up in a field where you were expecting other things, and all of a sudden you had to go through pain, or you had to go through loss, or maybe it just didn't quite live up to something that you had a higher standard for. Your expectations were at a more excellent level and it just came in subpar. But I'm going to tell you that we don't serve God out of results. We're not a results-oriented, fitly framed together body. We're a relationship-oriented, fitly framed together body. And when we come together, all things are working. And at times there are things that are not going to make sense, but you can't let that steal your sensitivity to the Spirit. God is doing a work in your life, and he has promised that blessing is going to be on your life. Not just blame of the past, not just brokenness of yesterday's experiences, but if you live for God, if you stay on a path of righteousness for his name's sake, if you ascend into his hill with clean hands and a pure heart, if you refuse deception because you would rather discern the good things of God and truth over treachery, then there's going to be a righteousness that comes, because that is the promise. That's the covenant word of the Bible. And we live according to that sure word of prophecy. You're not second guessing. You're not just giving human estimates. You're not just making a hypothesis. But these are things that have been stored up in the heavens even before the creation of man. Because our God is a God of everlasting truth. In him there is no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. He doesn't change. God is always perfect. And in the accuracy of his truth, you can find assurance in your trial. You can know that you're going to make it to the end. You're going to cross that finish line. You're going to do like Apostle Paul said. You're going to finish the course. You're going to have a good fight. You're going to contend for those righteous things of God because they are the most important things. And so I encourage you today, stand on the Word of God, because as the Scripture goes on to say, this is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. So there's a determination that a God who controls the fullness of the earth, a God who understands where I'm residing and where I'm at on all points of the journey, a God that hasn't lost me in His ability to locate me or to love me despite the circumstances, a God who has promised that I can ascend into the hill of the Lord if I keep a clean heart and pure hands, if I have a righteous attitude, God then is going to bring blessing and righteousness upon us because He is the God of our salvation. And there is a determination of those that are incentivized by the instructions of the Lord and the inspiration of His Word that regardless of how long it takes, we know there's coming a day when the former things are going to pass away, when the heavens and the earth as we know it now are going to pass away. And He said, behold, I make all things new in Revelation 21. We don't want to miss what's coming. We don't want to miss the boatload of blessings that's on the way. And it's not just about prosperity on this earth. It's about the everlasting life to come. It's about, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. There is a preparation for the people that love God that 1 Corinthians tells us, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. We are going to wait on the Lord because it's going to be worth it in the end. We are going to continue to worship the Lord because it's going to be worth it in the end. We are going to continue to work for the Lord with clean hands and a pure heart, ascending to those higher places in God because it's going to be worth it. And God is not only going to give us the fullness of the earth, but He's going to give us the fullness of the everlasting, and that is the most glorious thing. It's going to be worth it, and I pray that you are encouraged by the Word of God today, in Jesus' name.
But I found a love so amazing. If only they knew
lost, now I'm found. Jesus saved my life. I was bound, now I'm free, walking in the light. That's the reason why, that's the reason I got my through my feet. Get up.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.